Maybe you are all aware with regards to this situation or matter. You've probably got experience, and maybe if you've got a sort of hobby of doing gardening, you have a preference or a liking to flowers or plants or greenery. Lots of people have a garden at the rear of the house, and you'll have experience or you'll be aware of the fact that if a person doesn't regularly look after and keep on top of the garden, then what happens is that over a period of time, weeds and like foreign plants start to take root and grow. And if you don't pay attention, then those weeds and plants, thorns, nettles, etc., they start to destroy the landscape of the garden. And in the same way, insan, the human being, has a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has said in the Qur'an Hakim that both your zahir and your batin need to be looked after and kept clean. And obviously we emphasize a lot on the zahir, on the apparent, on the external, and to quite an extent we try to preserve and also beautify our external self. But when we look at the batin, the inner self, the soul, the heart, this is lagging behind quite a lot. And this will give us loss. Just I gave you the example that the garden, you have weeds that grow and other types of plants. If we don't look after the garden, then these, as I said, destroy the landscape and also what's already present there in the garden. In the same way, if a person doesn't look after his batin, not focusing on the batin, then ajib and different sins, they grow from within. This is the Quran that is telling us this. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهَمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah Ta'ala says that the foreign, you could say the sins and the negative inclinations, wrong deeds, etc., all wrong thoughts, they grow from within. We think, oh, it's dahir, it's everything's external, but it's within that the sins, they are multiplying, they are growing. We didn't pay attention to the batin. We don't try to clean our batin. We've never thought about our batin. And success of the hereafter is not on the dahir. No, the success in the hereafter is hinged on the batin. So for this reason, if we don't pay attention to the batin, then the insan, the human being, his dahir, his external self, his external, even external, you can say, attempts and actions, they go to waste. Now the dahir and the batin, their sins are like, if we take this understanding that they continue, they grow, they multiply, and then the person, he stops even recognizing or feeling that he or she is doing a sin. No feeling, no remorse, it's ease, it's normality, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous. In the internal, with regards to internal sins, I'd like to discuss one point with you, which is very common amongst us. Very common is that to look down upon someone, to laugh at somebody, to mock at somebody, to criticize somebody, to have a laugh on somebody. This is very common in our society. Very common. It's obvious Allah Ta'ala has made different types of individuals. Human beings are all different. Everyone has different characteristics and habits. And if somebody does not match with someone else or he's less in a certain thing, then in our society, we look down on that person. We think, oh, he's useless. And we criticize that person. With different methods, we look down at and criticize people. And good people, so could call good people with them, they don't know how big a sin this is. To look down at somebody, to ridicule somebody for any reason. Allah Ta'ala has given you a certain quality, capacity. He doesn't have that. She doesn't have that. So should we criticize him? Oh, look at him. Oh, this person. This is common. This is such a way of life. Good people who pray and worship, they criticize others. And for them, this isn't a sin. They don't even think of this as a sin. With ease, they say, oh, no, it's okay. It's only a laugh. We're only having a joke. But Allah Ta'ala says that any Muslim, if you, and a person who has iman, if you see someone doing zina or stealing or he's a thief or committing a big sin or doing a lot of sins, if you see a person doing this, then the hukum is that you shouldn't just say that this is bad, but on top of that, you should think that this person's better than you. Subhanallah. What a big point. that you see with your eyes a person, he's not doing good deeds, he's sinful, and you're praying salah, you pray tahajjud, you recite Quran. How difficult it is, it's such a big sin and a sin. A person's committing it, but to look down at that person, we cannot imagine how big a sin this is. We see someone doesn't pray salah, zahiri, he's got sins. And yes, of course, the sins that that person's implementing are bad. We should consider that. But to think that that person's lower than us, worse than us, and in our hearts, we even have thoughts about that person, oh, he's dirty, impure, he's a sinner, and you sort of have a bit of hatred for that person, then this is a very dangerous position to have, and a dangerous condition, a very dangerous thinking. I'll give you an example. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, you are aware, Hazrat Sayyid al-Ta'ifa, rahmatullahi, in other words, the head of all of the awliya Allah, what a great maqam, imagine how great a wali of Allah he was, his maqam, his status. So, he was passing by and he saw a man who was sort of like a beggar, sitting down, poor man. Obviously, people were fulfilling his requirement, his need. He was sitting and he said, in my heart, after I saw that person, a small thought arose in my heart. What a great sheikh, great wali. He said, I had a thought in my heart that this man is sitting and he could have done some work, he could have got a job, he's begging and asking people for money and he's depending on people. So, this was a thought. He was just thinking that if he was working, it'd be better rather than he asked for from people, or he's taking money from people and people are helping him. He just had this small thought, that's it. End of his thought. In the evening when he went and he went to sleep, in the evening that he saw in his sleep, that man came. He came with a bag or a container and there was a cloth on top of it. And he said, hey Hazrat, take something from me, I've brought this for you. He said, for me? He said, eat from here. I brought some food for you. And he said, that when I picked up the cloth, then it was the flesh of raw flesh, and there was smell from that that you cannot imagine. And I said, what is this? That this smells and you brought this food for me? Why should I consume this? He said, yes, but you consume this flesh in the morning. Why won't you eat it now? Well, no. You just ate this now, this flesh of a deceased person, and you were enjoying it when you were consuming it. Come. So why now are you not eating this? This is here, available for you. And he understood, his eyes opened, he woke up, he waited until the morning. He went to that man, the beggar. And the person who he thought he was a beggar, useless, and he was a arif billah. And he was a wali of Allah, who was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the world. How do we know about a person? What's his status, spiritual, physical, etc.? He had just reached there and the person said that, oh man, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts a person's tawbah, repentance, Allah ta'ala has accepted your tawbah. He said this to Hazrat Junaid rahmatullahi, when, go back now and don't do this action again. Don't repeat this action again. He said, I was so ashamed at that time on my action, that how much maqam he had and what I thought of him. Useless, without any status. So imagine how Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi was a great sheikh, great status, and he received this learning, this nasiha. So these are the sins, internal sins, batin. These were those people who always continuously did tawajjuh on their batin. And me and you, what are we? And sin was demonstrated to him that this is the physical consequence of the sin. So we see this from the example. And this is common for us, normal for us. Looking down on other people, backbiting, I have reached the high status, other people, they're useless. What's the point of doing this and that? So, the preparation for the akhirah, proper preparation for the akhirah, person should with caution live his life. With caution. That don't consider the hereafter easy to attain the success. No. Don't consider it easy. It's very severe reckoning on the day of judgment. And the reckoning, the accounts for the batin, we don't make effort. We don't even think that there's a batin, that we need to do tazkiyah, that we need to do tafsiyah, purify the heart, analyze the soul, the nafs. And if a person goes, for example, to learn from a teacher, says, oh, I want to become a Sufi, a wali Allah, I want to see a kashf, a vision, a karamat, a miracle, I want to become a wali of Allah, have a khanka, be a leader, and have people running after me. No, this is not the reason. How will we pay accounts for this? That a person, if he has a garden, and he doesn't look after it, then the weeds grow. Then if I don't look after my batin, then the weeds will grow and it will get spoilt. There's a standard beyond this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the hukum is this, the order, that this was with regards to a Muslim, and ridiculing or questioning a person's iman and sins, even any person, Muslim, non-Muslim, believer, non-believer, don't look at anyone with hatred. Don't ridicule anybody. Don't look at somebody as lower than you. Rather, consider that person as better than you. I'm talking about a person who doesn't have iman. You know, when we see the people who don't have iman, we say, oh, this person's not got iman, not a believer. Even at that time, you shouldn't have a feeling in your heart, oh, this person is not a mu'min. No, he's insan. She's insan. They are human beings. Remember, Allah Ta'ala says that think about the end point. Okay, fair enough, that person hasn't got iman, far from Allah, and he doesn't know about the Creator. We know Allah, we recite the kalima. So even that person as a hukum, don't look down at that person with hatred or distaste. No, look at the anjam, look at the consequences of this. What do you know that tomorrow that person will have iman, and after he brings about iman or she, and they're forgiven, we have iman, and tomorrow we may leave iman and become disbelievers without iman and going to Jahannam. So the success is what? On the consequence, end point. There was a wali of Allah. There was a person walking. There are people looking at him laughing. Oh, dog's better than you. Dog's better to that wali of Allah, he said. And he was a wali of Allah. He was a pious person. He gave a nice, beautiful reply. He said, you are right. You're right. I am useless. I am bone idol. And if my end point, consequence is with iman, and I pass this world with iman, then I'm better than this dog. And if my end point, my conclusion of life is not with iman, then this dog is better than me. So then the dog definitely is better than me. And we'll see what occurs. So what do we know that tomorrow that person may have iman and we don't have iman? Will we be able to recite the kalima? And will that person be reciting the kalima? We have to be careful. Caution again. I repeat the point, caution. I remember an event from our Qabareen. There's a wali of Allah, great wali of Allah. And he was recognized with this certain angle, you could say, Hazrat Mawlana Zafar Ali Usmani Rahmatullah Alayhi, and Hazrat Shabir Ahmad Usmani. And due to him, he is famous that he was, one was in the east of Pakistan and was in the west of Pakistan when Pakistan was split. So from the Akabareen, from the Walis of Allah, he is recognized. So sometime after Pakistan was made, he went back to India, went to his village where his original village was, where he originated from, and his friend Baniya was there. And there was salam, du'as between each other, you know, they used to meet each other. Yeah, friends, they would meet each other. There were people who were Muslims, non-Muslims, etc. He said, let me go and see my friend. And I'm telling you a true event here, true event. So see how things occur. When he went, he couldn't meet him, couldn't see him. He said, where's he gone? He went to his house, and the people in his house said that Maulana, he's very ill. He said, what's happened to him? They said, every day we put him in the corner, separate. Yeah, because Hindus, they have this sort of class system or caste system. They say, he's in the corner. We don't even go near to him. He's very ill, and we've just let him loose. He said, how long since when? They said, very long. Huh? He thought. So I have to meet him. In our religion, there's no classification or castes or different levels. Allah Ta'ala is the one who's created one. If somebody is ill, he is ill. If somebody will get the cure, he'll get the cure. I cannot reject him just because he's ill. He's my friend. I haven't seen him for quite a while. They said, yes, go and meet him. It's your choice. But we don't go close to him. We don't go near to him. So he went close to him and he was lying down on the bed. When he saw Mulana, he was shocked. So how comes you've come here that I'm ill? He said, no, no, stay away. He said, no, no, no. He sat down with him on the chair. So what if you're ill? So what? I've come to ask how you are. How's your health? He asked how his health was. And he made him feel good and he was happy. And he was surprised, his friend Baniya, that after such a long time I'm speaking to a human being today. After such a long time that due to my ill health, they have rejected me in the corner. They think that I've been overwhelmed by spiritual forces, and maybe there's some food left from the animal's food and they wrap it in something and throw it towards me. Then I eat that food. Even my relatives have left me, my friends, my children, everybody's left me, and I'm surprised that Mulana, you've come to meet me. Ajib. Ajib. He said, of course, don't say that I'm not going to see you. This is nothing to be ashamed of. How can I leave you and not see you and not ask about your health? Anyway, have a rest and have sleep, and I'm very happy that I've come to see you. So Mulana Sahib about to leave, he said, please sit 2 minutes with me. Please sit 2 minutes with me. And then he sat down. He said, Mulana, that I'd like to ask you a question. He said, yes, ask. He said that that I have now recognized through this illness today that our religion is false and your religion is truth. Is truth. And today this has been proven. And I was in deception, in darkness, Now please give karam and be merciful. They'll recite the kalam, allow me to repeat it so I can become a Muslim. This is a true event, I'm telling you. True event. SubhanAllah. So this is akhlaq, conduct, manners. He said, okay, I'll recite the kalama to you. So he took his hand and he recited the kalama. This is the shan, the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That after a while he passed away. Allahu Akbar subhanallah. So we say that all our life, the person who was bowing in front of the idols, he hadn't prayed salah, he hadn't recited Quran, he hadn't seen a Ramadan, he hadn't been on Umrah, he hadn't done a Hajj. Not one salah, Jummah, he had never prayed, and he was lying on the bed. He was lying on the bed. Alhamdulillah, the turn of his belief came with the fadl of Allah's grace, mercy. He recited the kalama. All of the sins of his life, the shirk, everything was eliminated, turned into good deeds, and without doing any ibadah, he went into paradise. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Allah is the Malik, the Khaliq, the Qadir. Who are we to criticize someone? Look at them. You're dirty. You're a sinner. You're impure. I'm better than you. I'm about to do this action. I've done pious actions. I'm a pious person. No. We have no rights to do this. So, akhlaq, conduct, a person went to meet somebody else. He fulfilled the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he's ill. We know him. Doesn't matter who he is. Who that person is, could be a Hindu, Christian, Sikh. Doesn't matter who the person is. Allah is the one who gives iman. We have to follow the principles of our deen. We shouldn't have pride and envy and look down at other people. Rather, I should say to myself, I don't know that am I going to die with iman? Will I be successful in the grave in the hereafter? Till my last breath I have to struggle with myself. Just like all life long, a person's sins and idol worshipping was put to one side, in the same way, that if I commit a sin, then all my life, all my deeds, my Quran, my Hajj, Umrah, they are put to one side and thrown into hellfire. And the person thrown into hellfire. This is how dangerous is this game of life. So for this ibadah Allah Ta'ala has given to us, it's not a minor thing that we think here. For example, tell me that I'm not speaking just to waste our time. We all need to look inside ourselves, analyze that, is this what we do every day? Do we carry out such actions where we look down at other people, criticize other people, we don't think good about other people, even if that person isn't a mu'min? If Allah Ta'ala gives somebody tawfiq to pray salah a little bit and do ibadah, worship, dunya is full of ups and downs, someone's got ilm, somebody's got knowledge, somebody's got beauty, somebody's got mal and wealth, or more children, whatever. So from all of this, that if a person compares himself and this thought comes into his heart that, oh, mashallah, this person, shouldn't say he's better, not just good, rather if these points are coming into your mind, these feelings come in your mind that I'm good, I'm pious, I'm a worshipper, look at his son, he's playing cards, gambling, he's not ashamed of himself. I see many times old people, they say, oh, aren't you ashamed? You're playing cards, you immodest person, it's salah time, this adhan. And he knows that he's not doing tabligh, rather, what's he doing? He's showing off. He's showing himself. He's showing his goodness and piety. Rather, Islamic way, the Islamic style of giving dawah and explaining is different. You shouldn't look down, oh, what are you doing? Oh, you're not praying salah. You don't go to pray salah. And you don't get up in the morning. You're ashamed of yourself. You sin. And other people are listening to him, ridiculing that person. Does this not happen amongst our society? Morning and evening, we see this. If Allah Ta'ala has given somebody tawfiq to do ibadah, he looks at the other person, looks at the person as useless. What were you yesterday, brother? What were you before this? That Allah Ta'ala has given us this tawfiq to practice that. For example, Hazrat Arif Billah, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, is there any greater Sufi than him? Anyone? And after, despite being in this protection and the ibadah and the great piety, and then he looked at the person, Allah Ta'ala showed him the punishment, the hair consumed this flesh. Allah Ta'ala gave him that vision that if I didn't give you the tawfiq to do this tawbah, then after, you would have after death seen this sin, that this backbiting, this bad thought in your mind about this other person will come in front of you after death. So this is one point. And another, alhamdulillah, is that despite knowing all of this, we know that this is reality and we don't cure this, then this is a destructive consequence. Conclusion, we don't know what is tazkiyah. Tazkiyah means to wash, to bathe internally and externally. For example, when we have a bath, for example, when a person constructs a house and you go to the new house, you say, where's the washroom? Here, we put it in the room for you. Oh, he's very happy, there's a washroom, because in the morning you'll need it, the bathroom, to have a bath, to wash your body. So if only we thought about our inner self, our soul, that if we thought, what's the washroom for the heart, for the batin, and the angels and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us, that go in the morning after fajr, there's a majlis dhikr and you will wash your sins. But who has the desire? Who has the passion? Oh, I've prayed salah. That's it, I've done this action. I've prayed tahajjud. I'm a worshipper. So who will wash that person? Who will clean you? Who will clean me? Who will clean my heart, my soul, my batin? Tell me. Yes, so all the impurities are collected and gathered inside the darkness. This is not an option for me or you that we can think about it. Or do I need a bathroom that I can go and do ghusl in this? No, it's compulsory. For example, having a bath in a house, we have to have a bath. It's Jummah. We have to wash ourselves, take the impurities and the smell of our bodies, apply shampoo, soap, and come out of the bathroom nice and clean. Wow, he's a clean person, wear libas, imama, and will fool, make people look foolish. They are impious. And angels, they know the reality of the person. They don't look at the external form and the appearance and libas. They look inside his heart. Is it clean? Are there impurities? Is there nur, light? Like in the morning and the evening, we have a bath. We clean ourselves in the same way. Allah Ta'ala has given us water. Purification agents. That inside you, there are sins, the germs, the bacteria from morning to night. They gather inside you. That can you not? You can't imagine the weeds and the thorns and the brambles and all the bushes, etc. If Allah Ta'ala didn't give you the tawfiq to do tawbah, the go morning and evening, do my dhikr sitting down. This is the reward of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you such a great reward that I've given you tawfiq, go and recite my name and do my dhikr so I can clean you, so you can become pure. So this is the maqsad, the objective of dhikr. This is the objective. That after death, when the eyes close, I swear by Allah, it has been shown to the pious people that where will we be? Aha, alhamdulillah, those people in the hadith, it is stated that morning and evening, those who do dhikr of Allah, who remember Allah, their faces will be shining. The angels will be surprised. What's the reason for this? That they used to clean themselves, purify themselves inside, do Allah, Allah, Allah. The sins in the morning are wiped away. Then in the evening, they do dhikr again. The sins through the day, the Allah Ta'ala opened the washroom, they used to sit down. The majlis, Allah Ta'ala said, I gave majalis of dhikr in the majlis, masjid, in my home. Those people had sense, understanding, consciousness. That in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has given the example of his pious servants. Those people who did dhikr remembered Allah and they cleaned themselves. So those people in the world who understood this, they didn't waste the opportunities. Allah Ta'ala is not doing a favor on us. Yes, and if I'd come, I'm not doing a favor to Allah Ta'ala is giving us assistance. We're not doing a favor to anyone if we go to dhikr or if we don't come. It's as if like we haven't lost anything. For example, a person's on a journey and he waits somewhere in a hostel or in a guest room or a house and there's no water there. It'll become difficult for that person. How will I get up in the morning? How will I do wudu? I've got no water to clean myself. And if Allah Ta'ala prepares water or that person prepares water, we say, oh, you favored me. You gave me water. So such a massive favor of Allah upon us. Allah Ta'ala has given us hukam. Go morning and evening doing my dhikr and I will clean you. I'll clean you. Are we lying down on the bed? Is no dirt inside us? I swear by Allah, if we open up our soul, our nafs, our inner batin, then think of the consequences. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi once thought bad of that person and he saw the conclusion. We don't even imagine today that we are dead inside. For example, oh, look at that person, he doesn't pray, he's a sinner. This is common amongst all of us. We don't realize that inside there's so much dirt and impurities inside us. We don't know. There's a good flower inside, a rose, dandelion, or any, because we don't recognize the classification. If we do gardening, you'll understand. But if you don't do the gardening, you won't even recognize the good and the bad flower between themselves. So I give you congratulations. Alhamdulillah. Allah's created an awareness within you that if you are working for this niyyah, then you are worthy of congratulations. The fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, the mercy of Allah, that at least Allah Ta'ala has given us tawfiq, that even if we don't understand, we are washing our sins. We are saying Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this is the enjoyment that me and you, that we should be regular in this, that if death comes like this, that there's a sin inside us. Alhamdulillah, you came and did dhikr in the morning, then all of your sins have been cleaned. Allah Ta'ala says, everything has a cleaning agent, and the cleaning agent for the qalb, for the heart is dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, and if you come, and if a person stays with this understanding today, in this day and age especially, that if a person has this thinking, oh, I don't have any sins inside me, a man or a woman, there's no greater foolish person than that. I say that there can be no one greater than Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi. They can, in terms of walis of Allah. Doesn't matter amongst us if there are people who are pious and a person doesn't do dhikr, he says, oh, I don't need to do dhikr, it's not necessary, I've done my lot, I've done enough, I am pious. Then I say that there's no bigger foolish person than that. Rather, I will say these words, that Allah Ta'ala has removed his mercy from that person. That he's not even thinking that I'm sinful, or do I have a need to do dhikr, or do I need to do ghusl, and he bypasses dhikr. And he's thinking that I have no need to do dhikr of Allah. I'm okay. I'm fine. There are no sins within me. And he rejects Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, and he rejects the Quran that you are full of the sins. Allah says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا, that what is inside your qulub, there's sin. there's illness, you are ill. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah Ta'ala says then it increases. You know, like you have a place which is dirty and you put that into a certain area in that garden or in that environment, it continues and multiplies and increases. For the sake of Allah, my brothers, understand this message of Allah. Every day we see janazas, they are occurring. Don't be in deception that I am totally clean inside. The question doesn't arise that there will never be sins inside us or impurity inside us. No, we should be happy that however I am morning and evening, I have a duty that I have to do, this action that I have to do, the dhikr of Allah, to clean myself inside. Without this, my wujud will be destroyed. My soul will be destroyed. That nothing should I see, dhahir, nothing should I see that I am perfect or I am clean. I tell you clearly that if you want to see who is good and who is not good, for example, we're all doing tazkiyah, then what is our basis that this is a person is good, or he's correct, or he's started to break the hajjud, or he's got an imamah, or he's got a beard, or he's going to congregation, masjid, he's going to the fard salah, etc. No, this is not the sign of a person who is purifying himself. I remember hadith, subhanAllah, listen to this hadith, Hazrat, the companion of Rasulullah ﷺ explained and narrated in this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ gave us a hint. He asked the Prophet ﷺ, please, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, tell me about a good deed. Imagine he's a sahabi and he doesn't know what is a good deed. Subhanallah, say subhanallah, subhanallah. That how we see here, these people were very deep. He didn't know about a good deed. He said, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim that I'm telling you, the sahabi he is asking. And this companion radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell me what is a good deed. What should I consider as a good deed? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, we could say today, don't you pray salah? Don't you pray tahajjud? Don't you do these good deeds? And he did all of these good deeds, but he was sincere and humble. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me what is a good deed. He didn't even think that there's good deeds in my life. I know he knew he prayed. He prayed tahajjud, Quran, his deeds. Today we pray tahajjud, Quran, Umrah, Hajj. What should we consider as a good deed? And the Prophet of Allah ﷺ gave an excellent, excellent answer, and the whole deen was given to us. Our eyes should open. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله أكبر حسن خلق. That the good deed that Rasulullah ﷺ didn't mention about ibadah. If you want to know about a good deed, then you need to know that your khulq, your conduct and your manners within you should be very good. Your conduct, your manners, your akhlaq should be excellent. Praying, salah, zakah, hajj, all of these, they will come in use. They will come in use. This is asal. This is the real thing that we need to go towards. But we need to present our deeds to Allah in a good way, in a clean way, with hisab, the way that Allah Ta'ala has ordered. Not with our own desires. Oh, I've got this salah, Allah. Yes, it is a very important thing to have salah, ibadat and prayer and worship. Who can doubt this? But we are wasting them at the same time. Are we going to present it the same way? Allah Ta'ala says, ibadah are very adheem. They are great. But Allah Ta'ala says, when you present ibadah to me, then your deeds won't be presented by your hands, by your mouth, by your eyes, by your bodily worship. All of these ibadah you have to present with what? With qalbin saleem. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, subhanallah. Is this not the case? Ask the Mawlana. Ask. So Allah Ta'ala says that when you come to me, what should you come to me with? Yes, that these ibadah that we are doing, alhamdulillah, salah, fasting, and hajj, etc. But Allah Ta'ala says, when you come to me, you have to come with all of this to me. For example, a person presents a file in his office, and they say, bring your file like this, with all these papers and documents. So Allah Ta'ala says that when you bring that vessel, your heart, it should be qalbi saleem. It should be full of sincerity and purity and cleanliness, and we have to make that in this world, not in the hereafter. We need to make our heart so beautiful that our everything, all our salah is sealed. Our heart should become like a bank, and it should be so beautiful, the heart, that whatever good deed we do, they should be gathered and collected within the heart. So the sahabi said, what is a good deed? Please tell us, O Prophet. And Rasulullah said, I will tell you what is a good deed. What is a good deed? Husne khulq, your husne khulq, your good deeds. That, subhanallah, people pray you not due to your dhahir, that, oh, he's got ibadah and worship, rather people praise you, look at his tongue, it is sweet. A sweet tongue. His words, when we hear him, he's so beautiful and beloved. When he meets, he smiles. When he speaks to someone, he speaks nicely. When he listens to someone, he listens to someone nicely. Until today, we've never heard that he is making a complaint or consider himself better than others. He's got tawaza, humbleness. He's got akhlaq. and subhanAllah, wherever he is at home, etc., everybody is praising that person due to his akhlaq. We want our salah to be good. We want our sujood to be praised today, our salah to be praised today, our every action to be praised. People in the dunya, they're praising us. We want everyone to praise us. Dahil. No, this is not the right thing. People laugh at us rather. Yes, oh, look at him, and he was doing this action, he's praying salah. Look at his tongue, he was swearing that person, ridiculing that person. Oh, he's backbiting as a person, or slandering. Oh, he just did this, he thinks he's pious. So look, he just slapped his son just now, his child. Oh, look in his heart, look his thoughts. Is this a life? All of your worship, you're wasting, I'm wasting. So for this, brothers, we should do that. That Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prescribed to us. And to attain this, we don't need a Darul Uloom, we don't need a book, we don't need a course. We have one solution. Qulu ma sadiqeen. Allah Ta'ala says, take the company of a wali of Allah and start doing the dhikr of Allah. This is the solution. This is the solution. This is the straight path. And this is where we get these things from. SubhanAllah said, this is where we attain this learning from. And there's no other learning institution that go to wali wallah with the right niyyah. I want to become human being. I want to end my impurities. I want to clean my soul, my heart. And for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. And for your sake, for your improvement. And consider that Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam, his grace and mercy, the dhikr in the morning and the evening, grab hold of it with firmness. We don't come in the morning, then until the evening, the dirt, the impurities will multiply. It will be difficult to remove it in the evening. So clean it in parallel regularly. If a person does dawah, I'm clean, I'm pure, then that person has fallen prey to shaitan. I don't need to do dhikr. I have no impurity within me. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine, I'm first class. There's no dirt impurities in me. No, this is not right. This is not correct. This is the hukam. That person should consider himself the worst, the most impure. And he should consider everyone else as better than him or her. And this is what we need to feel in our hearts. Reality, this should come into our heart. Not thinking, you should have no acting. No, reality, I'm worse. I'm a sinner, just like the event I told you. And I can't repeat this event to you again, otherwise I'd repeat it, summarize it. So look at the great people, pious people. In the great gatherings, the person who's the best, he says, I'm the worst. I'm the worst, I'm sinful, I consider I'm the worst. And they say, I'm worse than you. He says, no, I'm worse than you. I thought this before, I'm sad, I'm ashamed due to this point. So this is, why does this occur? It's not difficult, it's not hard. That Allah Ta'ala has given us tariqah, the method. So we need to take hold of that method. That we need to start sitting with those people, have friendship with those people and do dhikr of Allah. And inshallah that safada quality will come into you. Humbleness will come into you. You don't need to work hard. There's only one piece of effort that we need, that morning and evening. We need to do dhikr of Allah. And with the sincere heart, make a wali of Allah your friend. So there's no reason for business or transactions, money, borrowing, giving, taking, etc. Wahid, do dua to Allah that Allah give me love for this person. Give me love. And Allah, allow me to sit with the pious people. Ya wali, Allah, take me close to these people. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us in the hadith that, oh Allah, grant me your love and the love of those who love you. What a great hadith. That Allah, those people who love you, give me their love so I can attain your love. Give me such an amal. That Allah, we're asking for Allah's love in this hadith, aren't we? This is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So remember this point, my friends, that if we don't take strides and make effort, we won't find any bathroom that will clean us spiritually. We'll have to go to the company of the wali of Allah, to the majlis of dhikr of Allah. For this reason, that maut is going to come today. So tomorrow, it will come one day. And if we depart this world with impurities of sins and darkness, we go into the qabr, then the impurities will come out of us. And if we go and do dhikr, if we do dhikr in this world and depart with the dhikr and the clean heart, then we will wake up in the hereafter with nur. At least we've done tawbah, repented, we've done some dhikr in our lives, and we've cried and got some khawf and fear, and we will tremble in front of Allah. Let's do dua to Allah. That Allah gives us all the tawfiq. Ameen.